Have you ever wondered how a song is made? How it starts? What happens during the recording process? How does an idea become that beautiful 3-minute thing you hear on the radio? My name is Emmeline, and in Journey of a Song, I take you on a tour of a musician's creative process, from the very first notes to the final, fully produced progression. As a singer-songwriter and an independent recording artist, I am intimately familiar with the magic of music creation, but I also know that each song has its own sacred story. Each week, I'll be talking to a different songwriter as they pull back the curtain on a favorite composition, beginning with the acoustic version of the song and ending with the final recorded product. In between, you'll hear a conversation about the inspiration behind the song, the decisions made in the recording booth, and the many ways in which music reflects and informs our emotions and our lives. This week, my guest is the powerhouse singer and entertainment coach, Brianna Rellis. As an American Idol alumna, Brianna has built a beautiful business coaching singers of all ages to get noticed on reality singing shows and use that as a starting point for successful careers. She's also a singer-songwriter in her own right. She's here today to discuss her very first single, Thieves, which she released at age 42. Welcome back to Journey of a Song. I'm your host, Emmeline, and I am so excited for our episode today because we have the lovely and talented Brianna Rellis with us. How are you doing, my friend?
What is happening? I am so excited to be here, Emmeline. Thank you for having me. I'm good.
I am so excited to have you. We had you on Journey of an Artist to talk about all of the cool things you're doing with other artists. So I'm really excited to have you on today to talk about your song.
Yeah. But, and it's so fitting, the journey of an artist, the journey of a song, because that's exactly what this feels like. And it's just extremely fitting.
Absolutely. And before we get too deep into it, we're going to bring the audience along with us and let them hear the acoustic live version of your song Thieves right now.
Breathe in. Bury your weakness. Thieves are running wild, stealing all of the show. Been hiding shadows and secrets. Your light is wavering. No one has to know. Keep holding on. You're the only one who can turn this around. Keep reaching higher. You've come this far. Don't you let it all go. Demons follow your coattails, drunk on your despair, a pathetic show. You think you're a phoenix, cleansed from the ashes. You ain't going nowhere. Would have happened by now. Keep holding on. You're the only one who can turn this around. Keep reaching here. You've come this far. Don't you let it all go. Silence the whisper, robbing your will to keep fighting. No more hiding out with you. Keep holding on. You're the only one who can turn this around. Keep reaching higher. You've come this far. You can let it all go, yeah. Keep holding on. Fire's rising up. Let the doubt disappear. Keep reaching. this far, you can let it all go. It's time to let it all go.
Yay. Thank you so much. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't do that very often. So for me, this is like a real treat. And we could talk about how we stretch ourselves and push ourselves out of comfort zones. And performance is something that I used to do all the time. And I just, after having kids and businesses, and my priorities shifted, you know, so this has just been really a beautiful process of kind of reconnecting back to all that.
I'm so glad. So yeah, let's talk a bit about that, because that's some of what this song seems to be about, is the voices we let creep in when we're not constantly pushing forward, or when we're constantly pushing forward and doubt starts to drag us back. Can you talk a little bit about the process of writing this and what that was like for you, and tell our listeners a little bit about the journey that led you to release your first single at 42?
Absolutely. So this was definitely like a labor of love. It evolved over a probably year and a half, 2 year time period, honestly, because we started working on it, my producer and I, Adam Pickerel, before the pandemic. So we actually were in studio. I had, you know, this is one of those things where I came up with ideas as far as process. Like I'm, you know, laying in bed. It's the middle of the night. I call it like Neverland, you know, the time between sleep and wake, right? And that's kind of when the idea popped up. And when it did, I started jotting down my notes. I grabbed my phone. I put some really ridiculous voice memos into my phone, you know, like really deep melodies, you know, and I just started kind of building it out. And really what happened is I contacted my friend, Adam, who's my producer. And I just said, hey, I'm working on this song because I really want to write an anthem for myself. Like I really want to write something that's not like a rah-rah, this is my fight song kind of thing, but like I need a fight song. Like I need an anthem that reminds me that when I'm down and out, when I'm just really in a dark valley, that I'm going to get through it. It's going to be okay on the other side, that I'm loved, that I'm held, that I'm going to be okay. And I was just really struggling and definitely in my head about my direction as a entrepreneur, my direction as a mother, my direction, you know, just in general. And at the time, you know, being 39 or 40. And this is really where it came from, is just like understanding, like when we start feeding the beast in our head, it can get really out of control fast. Adam says, this is like that song that warns you to not, what happens when you're over indulgent or self-indulgent, you know, we like feed those animals, you know, I call them the thieves. So, you know, when they're up in your head and they're stealing all your goodness or stealing all your confidence or stealing all the stuff. And, that's what happens. And so that's kind of why I, felt like this song was needed, because I believe that a lot of people struggle with this.
Yeah, for sure. I love that you highlight the negative feedback loop that we can allow ourselves to get into, and how, you know, I think sometimes our tendency is to be like, oh, I'm not going to run away from that bad thing. I'm going to dig into it. But when we do that, sometimes what we're doing is feeding into those thoughts and allowing them to tell us the lies that we're not good enough, tell us the lies that we can't do it.
Yeah, we're ultimately giving them power, right? When we mm-hmm. when we put that energy into it, we give them power. And, you know, that gets us closer to that fear-based thinking and feeling versus the love-based fear feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. It is a hard balance, right? Because you want to acknowledge, okay, I want to acknowledge I'm not feeling great about this, or I'm going through crap, or life really sucks right now, or this relationship is really hurtful, whatever that is for you, you want to acknowledge it and work through it. But then there's that decision and that choice you have to make to actually let it go. and move forward and not put so much emphasis and energy on something that's dragging you down. Because ultimately, there's a lot of really great things too once you open your eyes and look around.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's important. You make a really important distinction in this, right? Where you're talking about letting it all go. And it sounds like what you're talking about when you say that is, you know, holding on to those doubtful voices, letting those doubtful voices, learning to hold in your head like the good things and the bad things, and then let the bad things go, but hold on to the good stuff. Like that seems to be the balance you strike in the course, because you say keep holding on.
Right.
You know, you're the only one who can turn this around. Keep reaching higher.
Yeah, there's a bit of a juxtaposition there, right?
Right.
And that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because it wasn't until, so we went into studio before the pandemic, mm-hmm. and we put down the first track, and then we added to the production when we added strings and those beautiful background vocals from, it's a choral arrangement that Tiger Darro put together for us. Aww. When we got that vocal arrangement, that string arrangement back, we realized we need to go back in studio to match the vocal on, like it needed to be redone. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad we did that, because it gave me the time to dig into the lyrics a bit more intentionally and thoughtfully. And I changed the end from, so it's, you can let it all go the whole way. And don't you let it all go the whole way, except the very, very end. And the very end is, you can let it all go, and it's time to let it all go. So I made that change because this song evolves from, you know, there's a bit of like, hold on, don't let go, like just keep holding on. But then there's also that thought of, but only, like you said, only hold on to what's serving you, what's lifting you up, what's going to keep you strong, and let go of all the negative energy, self-sabotage, negative voices, and even people that bring you down, or situations in life and relationships that bring you down. And again, fear of, well, what will happen? What is going to happen? That's scary stuff. And it's real. Everyone's feeling that. So, but again, letting go of that fear, because at the end of the day, we have to circle back to trust and faith, and knowing that, you know what, this ship, well, I'm not always in charge here. I gotta release that pressure on myself.
Yeah, for sure. So when you think about letting it all go, this is a journey that you were walking in a really, really specific way. Can you speak a little bit to the things in your life that inspired you to sort of create this narrative and allow these lyrics to develop in this way?
You know, when I wrote this song, I actually thought that it was going to be too personal to share. And I realized, like I said, as I mentioned, it evolved. And I was speaking to a really good friend of mine who recently lost her husband. And I, after the funeral, I sent the song to her, and it was not complete yet. And she wrote me back immediately, and she asked me if I wrote it for her. Like, she actually thought I was like speaking directly to her. Mm-hmm. And when she responded in that way, I just had this like feeling like I have to send her this song. Like, she needs to hear this song. And when she responded in that way, I realized, wow, this song is way more universal than I'm giving it credit for. And I was thankful for that, because it allowed me to view the song and sing the song in a totally different way. I didn't want it to be a selfish project. I wanted it to be something that inspired and encouraged others. And, you know, as far as the journey, ultimately, we went through a lot over the pandemic. And I just think, as a mom of three, there's so many times where, you know, we question where we're headed. We're questioning, you know, are we making the right decisions for our family? Are we making the right decisions? Are my kids going to be okay? You know, am I doing all the things that I can do to set them up for success? shoot, something small as should I stop being an entrepreneur and go get a full-time job? Mm-hmm. Like that, that sounds so silly, but like that, that desire for security, that whether a full-time job is secure or not, we can all have different opinions on that, but you know, things like that, relationships, you know, family, all of that kind of comes into play. And at 42, I'm thinking, who wants to even hear a song from someone at this point? I mean, I feel like things have changed a little bit because now we've got cool people like Pink and, you know, we've got plenty of artists out there, women who are older and doing music. But for me to release my first original at 42 years old, I was up in my head about that. You know, like, who am I? Are people going to take it seriously? Are people going to like it? Is it going to be any good? There was just a lot of self-doubt around it, you know? So it's really layered. It's quite complicated.
No, but I think you touched on some really important things, right? That we do go through that evaluative process, that we say to ourselves, is this really as good as I think? Could I really be as good as I think? And those are the, I feel like that's, those are the thieves, right? Because sometimes the thieves come disguised as really logical advisors. You know, they come all buttoned up and they ask questions that sound logical, like, am I making the right decisions for my children? Is this the right partner for me? Is this the right career for me? Did I choose the right thing? Do I need to just give up and do something easier? And I think it's difficult sometimes to discern whether those logical questions are like good internal questions to be asking, and if they're thieves.
And right.
It becomes difficult as well to see when that transformation occurs. Because I think, you know, those are good questions, right? Like any parent out there is going, no, it's good for me to be asking myself if I'm doing the right thing for my children. It's good for me as an entrepreneur to be asking myself if this is the right path for me. But too much of that can become thievery. And I really love, it sounds like the journey that you're articulating is one where you had to sort of recognize for yourself when those questions stopped being productive and when they started being thieves. And that was when you were like, I need an anthem. Like, I need something that is going to say to me, hey, Brianna, like, you don't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Just quiet. Just tell them to get out, get on out. Yeah. It's like, just quiet the voices. And you almost feel crazy, you know, when you're laying in bed and it's middle of the night and you can't sleep because you're all up in your head about whatever fear is circling, right? Mm-hmm. You almost get to a point where you feel like a crazy person. And it's scary. It's really, really scary. And I know I'm not alone on this. Like, but here's the thing. I would also lay in bed going, now is not the time for me to be doing this. I need to sleep, you know, like, but once they start storming all in, I'm done for, you know? So yeah, it is. It's that reminder that, you know, it's like you said, lies, fear versus truth, love, you know, and it's hard to recognize. And honestly, at 42, it's taken me this long to really evolve as a human being and in my, you know, faith and spirituality to be able to release stuff like that and know that it's all good. It's going to be fine. And I guess I also want to say, like, the whole line of like, let it all go, like, not to go all Elsa on you, but, you know, it's like, I almost think that some people just let it go, you know, let it go. Some people might perceive that as, that's not possible. Oh, easier said than done. Just let it go. And that I could agree in one sense as well to that, because it's not easy to just let it go. It's not. And it's a choice and it's a practice every single day. It's a practice every single day to choose to not feed into the fear. And that's a practice. So I got to work on that every single day. It's not like I just make a decision to let it go and like, I never have to worry about that again, you know? So I just want to reiterate that, because it's really important that if you're struggling with something that's really bogging you down, that you practice every single day to get well, to get better.
I love that you call it a practice. I think that's such an important message. And I think, you know, you coach clients and help them sort of build their own careers. So I think it's really beautiful to pull back the curtain and see that this is something that you're also coaching yourself to do, is to practice self-confidence, to practice faith, to practice trust and love, and how those aren't things that are necessarily always inherent. And if they're not there immediately, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. And it doesn't mean that's not something available to you. It just means that that requires a little practice.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a choice, right? The commitment of trying. That's all. It's like you'll just get a little closer every day. I mean, just like someone who's just starting, they decide, okay, I'm going to meditate every day for 5 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. That's something that I try and do, but I'm definitely don't do it every single day. But what I have noticed is that the more I do it, the longer I can go, the more I do it, the easier it is. And then I start to kind of crave it in a way, right? So I think that ultimately when you are adding something to your plate in the form of self-care or in the form of discovery or growth, you know, it's easy to get discouraged, but keep at it every single day, even if it's just a little bit, and give yourself a little grace.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Two things I want to dig into. First of all, you talked a little bit about how one of the negative voices in your head was, oh gosh, 42, like what could you possibly say at this point that anybody wants to hear? But you also had this really beautiful and affirming experience once you did take that leap of sending the song to your friend who was like, oh my gosh, did you write this for me? Because this is speaking directly to me. What does that feel like? Does that help you to quiet the voices? Like, do you take that moment and think, oh my gosh, this is proof that I did the right thing and just pushing forward?
Yeah, absolutely. It did feel like affirmation that there was a reason, A, that I sent her the song before it was done. I hadn't sent anyone the song. No one had heard it besides my producer and I. And it also was, I was thankful. I was so thankful that I had the opportunity to create something that another person could find, like I said, encouragement and hope from, that another person could enjoy, that another, and you know, for her, she was grieving, you know, so she was able to listen to it and kind of like almost like a hug, like allow it to just kind of like wrap around her a bit, you know? And so it's a gift for me, but it's a gift for others as well. And so that feels really amazing. And it sort of sounds weird to say that, but that it's truly like, this is like, music is like that gift that kind of keeps on giving, right?
Yeah. And it requires that initial risk. It requires us saying to ourselves as songwriters, no, I do have something worth saying. No, this is valuable. No, this realization that I'm having could help other people. It requires faith and trust on our part first. And the scary thing, right? Like, we have to peel back that curtain. And I feel like sometimes it's almost harder as women who like run our own business or women who have some position of authority. It's difficult to peel back that curtain and say, no, I have doubt sometimes. Mm-hmm. No, I have fear sometimes. No, this isn't a perfect journey for me either. That's a difficult thing to do, but what a beautiful thing to do that and then have that faith, have that trust affirmed by somebody else saying, oh my gosh, the fact that you did this made a difference in my life.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, because when the song was coming out, I was telling people, I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are going to see a whole nother side of me, because when I'm on Instagram or social media, it's very like, what's happening? Like smiles and like high energy and like fist pumps. And, you know, that's just my energy. That's what I bring to it. And then this song is so like heavy and deep and, you know, just all the things. I think I call it like what all the feels, right? Yeah. All the 42-year-old woman feels, I don't know. And wow, that was scary because again, just like you said, if I'm constantly in front of people, high energy, smiling all the time, lifting people up, encouraging people, all the things, and then I bring this to them, it's like, and by the way, I was also going through some stuff over the past few years, and or yeah, I can be depressed sometimes too. And, you know, and it's just, it's hard. It's hard because I know that, and that might sound silly, but you're right, because I just want to be that cheerleader because that's who I am at my core, but I'm also a real person and I am super broody. Like I do overthink things. And so there's definitely those sides of my personality that I don't share a lot on social media, but I was excited to be able to share this different side of me and allow people in a little bit more for a different angle, so to speak. And also just to have the opportunity to tap back into music, which is part of my fabric. So it was like a very important move for me as an artist and as a singer, musician, because I needed to create in that way. It had been a long time since I created. So I really needed that from a soul level.
Yeah. I think that's a really beautiful thing to realize and to articulate, that that we have to create, right? That there's something in all of us, I think, that needs to create. And also that there is room in your cheerleader for doubt. There is room in your cheerleader for broody moments or depressed moments or uncertain moments. That doesn't make your cheerleader any less valuable. It just gives her a fuller 3D figure. It makes her real. And I think for people who see like Rihanna the coach who's out there and saying, you got this, you can do this, I think to know that you've come from a place where you have to overcome those demons too gives more hope almost, because it says, look, I'm in this with you. I'm doing this with you. Like, this is a practice that I have to engage in too, but I'm not going to let that practice or the fact that it's an imperfect process stop me from doing what I think I'm meant to do. And that lends an air of legitimacy to the cheerleader because, you know, I think it's not, as much as we all wish we could be our best selves all the time, and as much as that's the goal, is to like present the best face all the time, I think that can be difficult for people who are struggling because they don't trust that.
It's exhausting too. It's,
yeah.
Can I keep that up? I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going live today. I'm not going to go live for the next 6 weeks because I don't feel like it. Sorry. You know, and it's just like, you can only give so much when you are, you know, always say, I personally know this about myself, that I cannot just fill my cup. I actually have to allow it to overflow. And then I serve from the saucer that has overflown from the teacup, right? So I serve from the saucer. I have to. And I know that about myself. So if I'm not only filling my cup, but allowing it to overflow, then I have a hard time giving at my, you know, optimum giving level and just serving everyone around me in a way that's from heart, right? And not just from exhaustion or not just from because I have to or I need to, like any of that, you know, it's because I want to. So I've really prioritized self-care over the past few years. And I still, like, it's a practice. I still have to work on it every day.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely, like, hard retweet on all of that, right? We're all learning the journey of self-care. I feel like in the pandemic, we're all relearning the journey of self-care because our world is crazy. You and I were talking about this offline, but it's been a wild month. I mean, it's hard to believe we're only 10 days into February. I feel like 2022 has already been a decade long. I don't know about you, but I'm like, wow, it's really just February? Are we going to make it through 12 months of this?
I know, right? It's been wild.
Girl, it's been a year already. It's been a year and a month. Yeah, Matt Nathanson has this line, it's been a messed up week that lasted years. And I was like, that's sort of how January went for, I think, a lot of people. But we have to give ourselves permission to be in that mess and to allow ourselves to believe that there's strength in that mess still and that there's always potential in that mess. And we have to give ourselves permission to step back if we need to step back.
Yes. Permission. That's like one of my favorite words right now. Because there's so many reasons or ways to give ourselves permission, right? Permission to go offline, permission to take a social media hiatus, permission to binge watch whatever show you're watching instead of being quote unquote productive. But then there's also like the permission to release a song at 42, permission to audition for the show, or permission to like actually actively attack your dreams. You know, there's so many ways that permission can come into our lives. And so, and it's all positive. Like everything I think of when it comes to the word permission is all positive.
If we're giving it to ourselves.
Ah, yes.
When we wait for permission from other people, I think that's when it gets negative, right?
That's when it gets hairy.
Exactly. Yes. When we start we to don't give need our permission. Power away.
That's right. Yeah. When we give ourselves permission to XYZ, it's very positive. It's very empowering. Yeah. It's good stuff.
And it requires that destigmatization. It requires us like letting go of the shoulds. I think that for me was the first thing that came to mind when you said you can let it all go, is it's so easy for us to let should or social should or personal should or familial should get in the way of what we feel in our heart. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I should feel this way. Oh, I should do this thing. Oh, I should approach this, or I should have. Like, should have is the worst, right? Because you can't go back in time. But like, oh, I should have released a first single at 16 because that would have been productive. You know, it's because what we do is we negate the journey that we're on. And that's a beautiful, messy, wonderful, wisdom-yielding journey. Because had you not gone through everything that you have gone through to this point, this song wouldn't have happened.
That's exactly right.
Like, this song was born of your experience. And so it doesn't matter what the should is, because this beautiful thing came out of what you did.
That's so awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge, like, yeah, okay, that's a great way to look at it. You know, like, it's almost like, not that I'm, it's almost like, okay, the whole, how artists like, don't like to, they're just so humble, right? It's okay. You know, okay, wait a second. I will pat myself on the back because I just created something amazing. That's so exciting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard as artists. A lot of the things we talk about on the show are, you know, imposter syndrome or this fear that you're not saying something important or that you didn't say it well enough or that you're like, because we're all terrible judges of our own catalog, right? Like, we have that moment before we release something deeply personal where we're like, nobody's going to like this.
It's too personal. Heavy.
Exactly. It's too dark. It's too deep. It's too broody. Nobody's going to get it. Nobody's going to like it. People aren't going to resonate with it. But it has been my experience in my career over and over and over that the songs where I'm like, I don't know if I should release this, it's very close to me, that those are the songs that people are like, I want to hear that again.
Yeah. Probably the delivery too, because it's so authentic.
Exactly. And that becomes the challenge for us as artists, right? Is then we have to own our mess. Like, then we have to own the personal thing, and we have to keep performing that song that highlights a part of us that we don't necessarily love. But I think what we forget so often in that process is that we're speaking to a part of our listeners that they don't necessarily love.
And building that connection.
By giving that part of us a voice, by letting the light shine on that part of us, we're letting the love in too.
Yeah. No, I think it's beautiful. And that's the whole, you know, when I work with artists, you know, we talk about that. It's like this, again, how the song for me started was writing something for me, a personal anthem, but I wasn't fully at peace with releasing it until I could make it about the listener. Mm. Well, they, you know, and not that I'm trying to write a song for everyone else, but I am. The whole purpose for me is to share music that impacts and touches people and inspires them and encourages them. You know, it's not just, oh, this is for me. It's not a selfish thing. Although the lyrics, I needed it. You know, it's like goes both ways in a way. But whenever I'm coaching artists, like we talk about that with performance and, you know, thinking about you're building a connection point here between you and the listener. And isn't that the point to allow your music to create an impact and allow your music to live and breathe? I mean, ultimately think about songs that create an impact and we listen to 20 years from now, 40 years from now, you know, 1960s, 19, you know, there are just classic songs that we are still listening to today. And what a gift, right? What a gift. I don't think that they were thinking when they wrote these songs, well, maybe they're like, I just want to write a song for myself. No, they wanted to create something that the listeners would enjoy or love or connect with. And I think as independent artists, it's more important today than ever that we create music that connects, especially if we want to keep doing this the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Because those connection points create lifelong music supporters. And, you know, at the end of the day, like you are a business, you know, and we're not trying to manipulate anything here. This is real authentic stuff. So if you can create a real authentic connection with someone, like that's everything. That's all they want. That's all fans want anyway. They want to get to know you. So for me, and here's the funny thing too, when I released this song, mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about, I would coach my clients. Okay. We're going to release on this day. We're going to pitch here. We're going to do all these things. So we want to get you to chart. We want to, you know, we're thinking about Billboard charts. We're thinking about all these things. For me, totally different. For me, I was like, I don't care how many people stream it. I don't care how many playlists I get on. I don't care. All I care about is getting this song in as many ears as possible. So if that means I'm personally DMing, you know, hundreds of people that day or thousands of people across the scope of it, awesome. I don't even care. Because if I can get this song in as many ears as possible that need to hear it, that's, to me, that's the win. That's the win.
Yes. One of the things that I think is so beautiful, right, is you talk about how as artists we're businesses, but how we also have to be authentic and how points of connection are so valuable. And, you know, I think that it's easy for us to get caught up sometimes in the shoulds of business and forget about the fact that we make connections every day as people. And how do we make those connections, right? By being authentically ourselves. Like, you can make a connection. I mean, I know we've forgotten this, right? Because we're all in masks and we're keeping social distance. But you can make a connection with the cashier at the grocery store by asking about their day, by saying you like their nails. And all of those, you know, you make a point of connection. And we can do that as artists. And I think what we're really saying when we do our best work as songwriters, and this is what it sounds like you were focused on doing with this song, is looking at somebody else and saying, I see you. And I don't just see the social media you. I don't just see the perfect face you. But I see you. And I hear you. And I want to reflect a truth of you back to you.
Mm. That's really special. Yeah. It's a great way of looking at it. And I think that from the texts and the DMs and the emails that I got from a lot of women, really. And I mean, I did get men tell me, oh, I heard your song. It's really good. Good job. You know, but like women were like this. I've been playing it on repeat for weeks. This has got me through this. This is, you know, and it's like, that meant a lot.
Yeah. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. And there's something about it that's like, I found it was like moms and like women, like in business, like entrepreneurial women, anybody. And I tell it's like for anyone who's even just pursuing creative passions, mm-hmm. you know, I think there's that as a woman, and maybe I'm overgeneralizing here. I can just speak from my experience. Okay. There were times when, you know, I became a mom where I did not sing or do music for years because I believed the lie that because I'm a mom now, I can't do music. And I'm so thankful that I have a supportive husband who told me to snap out of it because I was, you know, going to make him crazy and myself crazy if I didn't start doing music again. I'm very grateful for that. But at the end of the day, I know there are so many women out there who become moms and it's hard work trying to do music and be a mom. And I know that. And they it's not worth it to them. Right. And there's this constant battle of feeling selfish. I feel selfish because I just want to focus on creating music and desiring this life of performing and being under the lights and like all these things. That is so selfish. Right. My kids need me at home. And right. And so that's a real thing. People feel that way.
Yes. And because I think, and that gets back to the social shoulds, right? There are so many toxic messages, and I can't speak to the male experience because I'm not a man. But, you know, identifying as a woman, there are so many social messages directed to people who identify as women, especially people who identify with as women who exist in the domestic sphere in any way, shape, or form, that anything that you do that doesn't involve someone else is selfish. Like, yeah. I saw a post on social media the other day where this woman was like, oh, I took some time for self-care. I did some laundry and I vacuumed and I cleaned the house. And now when everybody comes home, it's going to be clean. And I was like, oh, that's not self-care. Like, it might be self-care if you derive pleasure from those things. But you doing it so other people came home to a clean house, that's not self-care. Yeah. And like, what have we done to ourselves that we think that? And why? Because the world needs your message. It's not selfish. You were created on this earth for a reason. You're here for a reason. Digging into that, trying to figure out what that is, that's not selfish. That's you coming closer into alignment with the force that created you so you can create something meaningful.
Mm. Love that.
But as women, that's such a hard message for us.
It is.
You know? Because we start thinking, oh God, I did something for me. Is that selfish? Especially as entrepreneurs, right? We're like, I'm trying to build my business. Is that making me selfish?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
And
it's so important, I think, for us to like honor that truth in each other and be like, yeah, I totally feel selfish all the time too when I take time. Like, I mean, I don't know about how you meditate. You're probably way better at it than I am. But when I meditate, my first thought for the first 3 minutes is, oh, there's so many things I should be doing right now. You know, and I still have to like shut that voice down and be like, no, we're going to focus. You know, the tape will be like, focus on the breath. And I'm like, oh, the to-do list is so long.
Yeah.
Like exhale. And I'm like, oh, I need to send that email. She's like, inhale. And I'm like, I wonder if I've gotten any text messages. And she's like, exhale. And I have to be like, no, we're going to do a thing now. And as creatives, it's difficult too, because we have to make time to create, and that can feel selfish.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes we lose sight of what self-care even looks like, because we are so busy doing things for those around us for so long that, I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who are like, I don't even know what I enjoy anymore. I don't even know what a hobby would be or what I'd like to do. It's like, wow, we need to do something about that.
You're like, you got too many thieves in your life.
Yes.
We need to figure out where those thieves are. We need to let them go and you can keep the rest.
And let's start by having sushi.
Oh, yes. Yes. Brianna, let's go have sushi.
Yeah, that's my self-care right there.
I'm girl. I'll have some sushi with you. That sounds delicious. Yeah, I love that. I think, do you think that's the pandemic? What do you think has caused us to get so deep into the hole of service that we forget to serve ourselves?
I think it's can be phases of life. I really do. I don't think it's the pandemic, because I was feeling this way and I have friends who are feeling this way way before the pandemic. I think that when we are going through different seasons of life, we start going through the motions. And you know, it's, there's also, cause there is something beautiful about service.
Oh yeah.
You know, giving, and you know, that there's, but there's that piece where, again, you know, giving so much to where you're like giving from a place of full lack, like you're completely depleted, but you think you can give. And it's, and then you go back to the intention. Well, okay, wait, why am I giving all this? Am I giving it out of fear? Am I giving it because I desire something back? Am I giving it, you know, think about the intention behind the giving as well. And I mean, I just think that when we go through certain seasons of life, we give more than other seasons, perhaps, you know? And obviously with me, I've got three girls who really need me right now. And that's something that constantly comes to my mind. Like literally the words, your girls need you, your girls need you, your girls need you. So what it does for me is it reminds me to prioritize my family, but it also forces me to create a work-life boundary or work-life respect. I don't like to say balance because I don't necessarily believe in balance, but the work-life respect of saying, okay, in most cases, my computer, I get up early in the morning. So, you know, in most cases by 3 p.m., computer's closed. And I can't say that I am very good at putting my phone away because I'm still working on my phone, but at least the laptop is closed. So, you know, but I have to remind myself to, we call it listen with your eyes. So when my daughters come to talk to me, if I'm on the computer, on my phone, if I'm in the middle of something, they know to wait. But instead of just being like, they're like, mom, listen with your eyes.
I love that.
Look at me and listen to what I'm saying, you know, but isn't that, I don't want to, it's kind of sad. Like they have to tell me that sometimes, but I like it. I like it. It's that reminder.
You have a language that works for you guys. I think, I mean, this is, we poison our thinking so often, and you talk about this, like that's part of what resonated with me when I heard this song was, wow, I have those voices all the time. And a lot of those voices are like, oh, you should be doing this, or oh, how sad that you're not doing that, or why haven't you figured this out yet? So we forget to honor the journey that we're on because we're so focused on the journey we think we should be on. And the truth is, you figure out what works for you. It is, you know, it's a journey, right? Like there's a reason we call the podcast The Journey of a Song. It's a journey. And part of the journey is developing vocabulary that works. And I love that you talk about service. I think the problem is not in serving. It's in our definition of serving. Because I think your inbox serves as testimony to this. Writing and giving this song away is service.
Mm-hmm.
When we create meaningful art, that is service. But the beautiful thing about that is it sounds like you were able to serve yourself by creating this song that helped you quiet the voices. And then you were able to serve others by giving it away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the art allowed you to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed you to serve everyone else. Yes. And it allowed you to serve your girls. I mean, you know, we talked about Pink, right? She has this beautiful song called All I Know So Far that she wrote for her daughter.
Mm-hmm. I love Pink. She's like way up there on the respect charts for me.
We should and, just do a podcast where we talk about, I know, just both of us love Pink.
Oh God. I love her so much. I call her my, I say she's my spirit animal. Like Pink is my spirit animal, man. When she was on tour through Dallas before the pandemic, I guess maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago or whatnot, we got last minute tickets to go see her. We literally scalped them. Like the concert was about to start and we scalped them outside. We ended up maybe second row, like right up front, what? Right below. Yeah, it was insane. And I don't think I said a word the entire show because my jaw was like on the ground the whole time. My husband's looking at me going like, are you okay? Because usually at shows, I'm like, whoa! I'm like screaming and hollering. No, I was silent. And I literally left this show thinking like, why do we try? Why does anybody else? Why do we even create anything? We have Pink. No one else needs to do anything forever because we have Pink. Like, why do we even try?
I love that you had a transformative experience at a Pink show because I went to that same show and we got last minute tickets, but we got them. We couldn't afford like floor seats because holy crap, they were expensive. But they released a bunch of seats that were like towards the side stage. So you saw partially backstage and partially on stage.
Okay, yeah. At
the very last minute. And those were the seats we got. And the thing, like, obviously, she's amazing. You see her fly through the air. She sings upside down. Not to spoil the show for anybody, but you should go see it because really, the feats that this woman is able to accomplish in like 90 minutes are just mind-boggling. I think all the time I need to, you know, I leave Pink shows being like, I need to practice more. People are like, what do you need to practice? I'm like, everything, all of it, like all the things. I need to practice all of it more. But she, after every song, came off stage and hugged her daughter.
That is so sweet. Did you see the documentary? Mm-mm. All I Know So Far, probably on the, I think it's either on Netflix. Oh girl, you got to go get that. It goes through the tour, her tour and all the behind the scenes. And her daughter's Willow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Willow is a big part of this documentary. So yeah, I'm just kind of picturing all of that. That's so sweet. She's remarkable.
Yeah, it was such a beautiful thing to see that she like comes off stage and that's how she grounds herself. And I think that, you know, you highlight something really important in the creation of this song, which is that we do have to ground ourselves before we can give. I love that you talk about the cup that overflows and not just the cup that's full.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's something interesting, a little bit of an interesting story. I actually have a teacup that I keep on my desk mm-hmm. to remind me to make sure my cup is overflowing. It just sits there. But this was actually a conversation that I had with the shaman back in May mm-hmm. of 2019. Yeah, because 2020 would be the pandemic. So mm-hmm. I won tickets to go to Live in the Vineyard Ghost Country, which is literally they fly you out to Napa and for 3 days straight, you listen to country music in the vineyards. Like it's the most amazing experience ever. And I had this beautiful conversation with a shaman there who I had no idea she was a shaman. And she goes, hey, have you started drinking this morning yet? Because we just arrived. And I said, no, I haven't. She goes, wondering if we can sit down and talk to you and tell you something real quick. She goes, would you be open to that? If I just kind of like showed you a couple things in your hand. She goes, I saw a couple of things I need to talk to you about. I was like, yeah, I was like all for it. So anyway, we sat down, we had this wonderful conversation. She told me all these awesome things I knew about myself and couldn't believe she knew about me. But also it affirmed a lot, encouraged me a lot. And that was one of the biggest things that she told me. She said, you know, you cannot serve from the cup. You have to serve from the saucer. And I need you to hear this. You have to serve from the saucer. I did not know what she meant until I started getting the visual of what that meant. Because I don't drink from teacups very often. So I was like, saucer, like, what do you even mean? Yeah. So it's just a really beautiful gift that she gave me.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love that you're sharing it with our listeners. Can now all of them know, serve from the saucer.
Yeah.
Brianna, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This is such a beautiful song. And I love that you allowed yourself to be vulnerable enough to share it, because I really do think you've put something really important and beautiful out into the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, and I appreciate you. I love your show, and I'm so honored to be a part of it. So thank you again, Emmeline.
Yeah, thank you. So if people are sitting here and they're thinking, gosh, Brianna sounds amazing, where is the best place for them to find you?
Oh, very cool. So people can head on over to briannarellasmusic.com. That's BRIANNARUELAS as in Sam, music.com. And you can find me on Instagram at Brianna Rellas Music as well. And I respond to DMs all the time. So you could always DM me on Instagram. I'm not too cool to not reply.
Oh, so send her a message.
Yes.
So that's for our listeners on radio. It's Brianna, BRIANNA, Rellas, RUELAS, music, all one word, on Instagram or .com. And for those of you who are listening on a podcast, it's going to be super easy. You just scroll up and click and we'll have them linked below. Thieves is the song. It's beautiful. It's out everywhere.
Absolutely.
You can stream it
on all platforms.
You can stream it. You can download it. You can own it for yourself. And the next thing that our listeners are going to get to do is hear the beautiful, fully produced version that you and Adam came up with. Would you like to introduce your song?
Absolutely. So I would like to introduce my debut single, Thieves.
Breathe in, bury your weakness. Thieves are running wild, stealing all of the show. Been hiding shadows and secrets. Your light is wavering, no one has to know. Keep holding on, you're the only one who can turn this around. Despair, a pathetic show. You think you're a phoenix, cleansed from the ashes. You ain't going nowhere. Would have happened by now. Keep holding on. You're the only one can turn this around. Keep reaching higher. You've come this far, don't you let it all go. Silence the whisper, robbing your will to keep fighting. Hiding out with you. Keep holding on. You're the only one who can turn this around. Keep reaching high. Rising up, let the doubt disappear. It's time to let it all go.
Thanks so much for joining me for this week's episode of Journey of a Song, featuring Brianna Rellis and her anthem Thieves. To learn more about Brianna or to follow her musical journey, find her on social media at Brianna Rellis Music or visit briannarellismusic.com. That's B-R-I-A-N-N-A-R-U-E-L-A-S music.com. For behind-the-scenes glimpses and more about Journey of a Song, follow me on Instagram at Emmeline Music. That's at E-M-M-E-L-I-N-E Music. Don't forget to check out my other show, Journey of an Artist, Sundays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on Deep Ellum Radio. Journey of a Song airs Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Deep Ellum Radio, and each episode is available as a podcast the very next day. Discover new music and hear fascinating stories with me, Emmeline, every Thursday night on Deep Ellum Radio. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to tune in next week. This is only the beginning, and I don't want you to miss a single minute of these inspiring conversations. If a picture is worth a thousand words, a song is worth a thousand stories.